Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 235, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need. My Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford. I cry to thee. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 235.
nice to read to you out of God's holy and precious word from the book of Psalms, Psalms 86. But before that, the Ten Commandments, as they can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 86, a prayer of David. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to the fear of thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, It is thy Sabbath day. It is thy holy day. And we have heard it out of thy law. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Oh, it is a day separated by thee. Oh, we ask of thee, wilt thou separate it also for us in this day, that thou may take away all the thoughts and all the concerns that there are in this world, in this life, that do bear us down amidst all the misery that lives in our hearts. O Lord, that thou would separate us for a few moments, when thy word, but also the visible gospel, is to be proclaimed and set forth in this morning hour. O Lord, then it is possible that it is so dry and that it is so empty, that it is possible that it is but many words of a man that will be spoken in this morning. It is possible that it remains but bread and wine that is eaten and that is drunk. O Lord, then it is also possible that thy Spirit may come among us. For thy Spirit, O Lord, that makes life to abound. O, we beseech it of thee, Lord. For thy word that is given by thee unto us, that it may be the means of bringing forth life. And thy sacrament that is given in the midst of thy church, that it may be the means to sustain that life. O Lord, we beseech it of thee then, that thou wouldst give unto us a good hour together in thy favor. O, that we may not only be gathered as a congregation, but that thy Spirit may be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us. O, that thou wouldst draw thy people with the bands of love. Oh, that thou wouldst draw the hearts in this morning hour, as thou alone art able to do it, that thou wouldst take away the fears of those who are thine own and who are tossed to and fro in this morning hour. Thou knowest the heart of each and every one. Oh, take thou away the riddles. Wilt thou solve them for thy church? Give a little instruction. Oh, give a little view, Lord. Give a little a sight of thyself, because when we may see thee only, oh, then everything else does fall away in one moment. Oh, we beseech thee that we could experience a little of that heaven upon earth. A little in thy house in this morning, thy presence, thy nearness, thy love, oh, that thou wouldst pour it out, that thou wouldst give a holy jealousy in the hearts of children and all those that stand without, oh, that thou may give, that desire of a Ruth could be born in this morning hour, in the heart of each and every one, O thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. O, could it be born for the first time in young and old, in those who have to say in this morning hour, and that I have but a heart that is so hard, that is so cold, that is so worldly, that is so far from God. Oh, could it be that this burden may be laid upon this one or upon that one, and that thy Spirit would draw for the souls to come and to draw nigh unto thee. Oh, Lord, drive us, draw us into our inner chambers, and that thou thyself may do for us what we cannot do. Oh, that thou wouldst take us by heart and by hand, and wilt thou bind the seriousness of life upon us, and that thou wouldst take our affections, and that thou wouldst bind them unto thyself. Oh, that we may say with thy servant, I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace.
Look upon each and every one. Feed thy people. Thou knowest it is a warfare, O Lord. It is a short life here below. And they go between the cradle and the grave as the objects of the hatred of the prince of darkness. And they have no strength against that great enemy that cometh against them. Sin is on the inside. Sin is on the outside. A heart that is of flesh. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Lord, the grief. Lord, the sorrow. That it may be increased and that it may be taken away by thee. One view of thyself. And then everything is made well between us and thee. Thou hast done it, O Lord. Thou hast given thyself even unto death. Send then thy spirit. That thou may be glorified in all thy mediatorial engravings, and that thy bride's heart may be awakened by the knockings of thy spirit in this morning hour. Open unto me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, head that is filled with dew, and my locks of the drops of the night. Lord, draw them by renewal from the places of the backsliding, and that thou may increase the knowledge of thy church, of the grace of God for the chiefest of the sinners. Wilt thou look upon all that are bound to their homes? Lord, thou knowest where they are. They are not able to gather with us in this morning, or in the nursing home. Lord, wherever that they are, the difficulties of the mind, the difficulties of the body, the weaknesses. Lord, we beseech thee, that thou may give strength from above, and could it be, and all the consequences of sin here below, and that there may be a blessed agreement with thee, and that there may be profit for the souls, also in the places where that thou hast driven them this day, and that thou would be unto them a little sanctuary. Help thy servants, each and every one of them, in the places where that they are in this day. One of thy servants, Lord, we have heard it in the week gone by, where we have come from. Lord, thou knowest his place in our own home country. Lord, that thou may look upon him. And then he has received the news that there is a disease in his body. Lord, we beseech thee, as he has requested of us, that thou wouldst be close unto him, that thou wouldst be near unto him in these trials that he has to endure. That he may be able to kiss the rod, and that he may be able to so agree with thee in everything. Could it please thee, if thou may bless the means, that he may be spared yet a little while among us, because the need is so great in the theological school to instruct the students, and to bring thy word from Sabbath unto Sabbath. Lord, increase the number of thy truly sent servants, and wilt thou look upon us as a denomination in thy mercy and in thy favor. Remember thou us then in this morning hour. Be thou on our right and on our left, to strengthen us to do the labors that thou layest upon us. May we be filled with a double portion of thy Holy Spirit, and that we may feel that thine everlasting arms are underneath, and that thy children may be instructed, and that thy blessed and thy most glorious and thy worthy name and may be lifted up to the highest. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 417, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their ace in my privation lead me unto thy habitation. Beneath thy wing I'll be supplied with grace thou wilt provide. We have remembered this morning Reverend Vogelaar, who was diagnosed in this past week with colon cancer. Reverend Bruggy hopes to lead an English midweek service this coming Thursday in the Lethbridge Church at 7:30. If any are left that would like to join the confession class, please contact me by tomorrow, as we hope to begin on Tuesday. And the last collection today is for the Fort MacLeod Building Fund. Psalter 417, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, the words of our text for this special hour can be found in Hosea chapter 11. In Hosea chapter 11, the last part of the fourth verse, where we read, "And I laid meat unto them." So far, the words of our text, meat laid unto Israel. First, this meat that is for a sealing. It is for the sealing of their deliverance. And second, that meat that is the provision of strength for their journey. Meat laid unto Israel, first the sealing of their deliverance, and second the provision of strength for their journey when Israel was a child. Then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. So we have seen the children of Israel. They were sitting by the flesh pots. They were eating bread to the full, the fish, the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic in the land of Egypt. But it cannot remain that way. And why can it not remain that way? That they are so living in the land of Egypt, because it is a people that we read are loved by the Lord. It says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him. And because they are loved by the Lord, and then the Lord will not allow them to continue on in the way that they are living. And so there comes a yoke. And so there comes a burden. And so there comes a cry unto the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, the calling of the Lord, away, away, away. And it is a calling that is irresistible. The Lord, he has such a willing heart in the day of his power, when he is drawing them with the cords of a man and with the bands of love. You say, what a blessed life, is it not? Do you think so, children? That is true. It is such a blessed life. Oh, it is a blessed life because the heart is touched. And you know, if your heart that is touched with love, and then there is a drawing in your heart. And then there is a fleeing from all the things that are against that love. It was not so easy, though, for the children of Israel. No, it is still not yet so easy in the life of that people. Why? Because there is a strife. Because there is a burden. And when Ehud slew Eglon, and then he sent a sword into his belly, we read. Then we read and that the dirt came out. And congregation, we are not just bowers under the yoke of the Lord. We do not just receive everything so easy that the Lord is laying upon us. And we see that also with the children of Israel. Because there comes a time that their fists, they are being raised to heaven. Under the afflictions that the Lord, he is laying upon them. And they are even blaming the servant of the Lord. He said, they say, you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and all of his servants, they say, you have only made our bondage to be worse. You have only increased our yoke. O people of the Lord, is it not true that there is a time that that yoke that is only increasing, that that burden that only is becoming heavier and heavier, because then the Lord, He is opening up more and more that is living within you. And then there is sometimes even that rebellion that can live within, so that the dirt that is coming out, that the Lord is showing what a wretchedness that is living within your heart. Oh, who can fathom the goodness of the Lord? Who can fathom the long-suffering of the Lord, who was to Israel, even as He, we read, that did take off the yoke from the jaws, and that is despite all the miserableness that did live in the heart of that people, and that was even coming out of the heart of that people, that was being expressed even in the words of that people against the Lord and against His servant Moses. And then there comes a day that the Lord, He says, it is enough. It is enough. It is enough concerning the sighing of my people, my church, the sighing of my people under their burdens. And the Lord, He says, I am now going to do something. I am now going to lift that yoke. I am now going to deliver that people from their burdens. Pharaoh, we read, he refuses to let that people go. Moses, he goes out from Pharaoh in a great heat of anger. And we read that the Lord, He says, Pharaoh, He will not hearken unto you. Why not? Because I am going to multiply my wonders in the land of Egypt. Oh, the Lord, He is going to multiply His wonders. The heathen, the wicked, who will not follow after Him, they are going to see the justice, to feel the justice and the wrath and the anger of the Lord against them. And when those wonders of the Lord are multiplied, then the judgments also are multiplied against the wicked. But when the Lord is judging the wicked, the Lord is at the same time delivering His own people. And that is such a wonder for that people, because they have no strength against this great enemy, that enemy of sin that is coming against them. And when the Lord, He is multiplying the wonders, and then the Lord, He is increasing in the estimation of His church. He is going higher and higher, because the wonders, they are not ceasing for the deliverance of His church. The Lord removes the halter. The Lord removes the bridle. He is now going to break the strength of the enemy. And they are no longer going to lead His children as they did before. No, that enemy of sin that is going to have to let go. And it is not going to have dominion over His people anymore. The Lord, He takes up that yoke. And then what do we read? We read immediately. We read, and I laid meat unto them. What do we read? The Lord said to Moses, speak ye unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, that they take unto them every man a lamb. What is it? It is the Lord's Passover. And I laid meat unto them. That is the first thing that the Lord did when He lifted that yoke off the jaws of His people. That is the first thing that he did was to give them to eat when he has released them from that bondage. That is, congregation, the experience of that true church of God. When the Lord, he is opening their eyes for the first time, and then he is showing them something about that Lamb. About that Lamb of God that taketh away that sin of the world. And then he is giving to them something to eat. At that same time that he is lifting that burden, then he gives them to taste something. Take ye every man a lamb. The church of God is going to receive some instruction here. In what? They're going to be delivered. They are being delivered. They are delivered. The Lord, he is going to instruct them in the foundation, in the basis of their deliverance. What do you think, children? When they all had to take that lamb, every household had to take a lamb, and they had to eat of this lamb, what do you think? Do you think that all the children of Israel understood what the Lord was doing? Do you think that all the children of Israel, they comprehended the meaning of the Lord when they had to take here every man his lamb? And if some may have a little understanding, do you think they understood it in the length of it, in the breadth of it, in the depth of it, in the height of it? You will say no. No, most likely they did not all understand very much of it at all. But what was true about every one of them? Well, they all tasted it. They all ate of it. Thus, this relief, when that yoke that is lifted from them, then they feel something. They feel something of that deliverance. They feel something of that relief. And at the same time, they are tasting something. They are tasting that lamb. The Lord has commanded that that lamb that is to be slain, that is to be set before them, and they must eat of it. Thus, their knowledge, we say, that is so very, very small. That is so for the church of God. You say that maybe people of the Lord, today, this morning, say, what do I know? What do I know of him? How can I make a profession of him? Because I am still so ignorant. Or if I know anything at all, then it is so very, very small. Oh, that was for the children of Israel too. But the Lord yet reveals something about that lamb. He gives them a certain instruction, even if it was so very, very small. But at the same time, he gives them to taste it. And at the same time, he gives them to feel something of the relief. The relief from the burden that he is now delivering them from. They feel the lifting up of this yoke, all of them. So they say that people of that moment, when the Lord, he is revealing something in the life of his people, you say it was so very, very far away.
It was so very, very small. Oh, I still know so very, very little. And yet
I felt something.
And yet at that moment, I tasted something. I tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, I felt something. I felt a relief. I felt something of the lifting up, even if it was for just a moment. I felt something of the lifting up of that burden of sin that was weighing me down. And I laid meat unto them. And now in an official way, then we say, this is the sealing of their deliverance. Why? Because the Lord, not man, but the Lord himself, he is now instituting this. He institutes this himself officially as a sacrament for his church, for that people, the children of Israel, always for the rest of their life. There is a divine command. Thus, it is the testimony of God. It is the testimony of the Lord himself of their deliverance. It is the testimony of the Lord that he is going to judge the enemy tonight. And he is going to spare children of Israel. Why? Because they deserve it? Oh no. Oh congregation, we said it. They were living there just like the Egyptians. They were enjoying all the good of the land of Egypt. If the Lord had never come and laid a burden on that people, what had been the difference between that people and the Egyptians? There had been none. Except that it was the Lord's people. Oh, from their side, there was only guilt. From their side, there was only a deserving to be cast away. But the Lord is going to spare them. He is going to spare them because of his promise. And he says, how? It is based on this lamb. It is based on this sacrifice. Therefore, the Lord, he is connecting these two, and he is assigning the blood of that lamb, that shed blood, as a sign and as a token of his favor, of their deliverance. Thus it is the official institution of that sacrament that is constituting a seal. It would have been a regular meal had it not been designated by the Lord himself. The Lord himself made it a special meal. That is the only reason it was special, because the Lord, he declared it to be special, and because the Lord, he says, it has a meaning. Thus it is, children, if you would color a picture on a piece of paper, then we may say, your mother says that is beautiful. And maybe, and then you put that in a special place in your room. That is nice. But what does it mean? Well, you say it is just my picture. That is right. But there are other pictures that people make, just like us. But the government that says, that picture, that now is going to have a meaning. We are going to make that picture into the seal of our province, Alberta. That is Alberta's seal. And on our official documents, we may even have a certain stamp,
and we will stamp it on there. We will raise it up a little so every document that has that seal on it, everyone will know that is an official document of the province of Alberta, a seal that gives you a certainty. How is it that this meal, this Passover, the supper of the Lord, that becomes a seal? Well, becomes a seal because the Lord constituted it as a seal. He said it would be a seal. And thus, he is assuring his church with that seal of their deliverance. And that is so important. Why? We see that in our second thought. That is, that this meat that is laid unto them is a provision of their strength for their journey. Because they are going to need strength in this night. Why will they need strength? Because they are going to be beginning a journey. That journey is a journey out of the land of Egypt. It is a journey out of bondage. Thus, the bondage of sin. Do you understand that in a spiritual way, what that is? It is a journey. It is a departure. The Lord, He is delivering His people from the bondage of sin. You say that people, they need strength to go in this night. Oh yes, they do. But they do not only need a physical strength, but they need a strength in their soul in this night. And why? Well, the Lord is coming. The angel of the Lord is coming. He is going to have a sword in his hand. It is the sword of the Lord. It is the sword of justice. And he is going to slay the enemy. But do you know that he is also going to come so close? He's going to succumb so close unto the children of Israel. There is the dwelling of the Egyptian. There is the dwelling of the children of Israel. They are dwelling among them. They are in the land of Egypt with them. So that justice, that sword of the Lord, that is appearing and it is coming so close to the children of Israel. Oh, you can imagine there is a mortal fear in the children of Israel also. Oh, there is nothing but the strength of faith that is able to deliver them from that mortal fear in that night. There is nothing but the blood of the Lamb that is standing between themselves and that justice, that sword of justice, to make a distinction between them and the children of Israel when they have deserved the same themselves. But it is now that same God that is sending that angel that has done what? That has laid meat unto them. Who has given them that seal, who has given them that meal, and who has assured them that he has accepted that blood in the stead of that people. Thus, that sacrament, that is a testimony. It is a testimony of the God of Israel unto that church concerning their deliverance from what? From the curse, from the punishment, because Egypt will be punished. Egypt now will be slain. But the Lord says, I will spare you. I will not slay you. What did the Lord say to David? He says, Nathan, the Lord hath also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Thus it is the deliverance from the curse. the deliverance from the punishing. What is that lamb? That lamb. But there is now a second thing. Why? Because they need also strength to depart from that land of Egypt. They need strength to flee. They need strength, boys and girls. If your teacher says you have to run, then you need strength to run. And the children of Israel, they have to flee now in this night out of that land of Egypt. It is a people that need to flee out of that bondage of sin. How do the children of Israel feel about about those that hold them captive? Well, they are much stronger than we are. If the Egyptians now, if they would overtake them, if they would overcome them in their flight, you say that is a people, the last end of that people that shall be worse than their first. Because they will deal so hardly with them, then it will be a bondage that will be their utter, their sure destruction. Oh, thus assurance is necessary. They need to be assured of what? Of the end, that end goal, of that thing that they are going to actually receive it, and that these Egyptians, they are not actually going to overcome them when they are not able to run in their own strength. Because now fear and doubting in all of the children of Israel, well, what will that do? That will hinder them to run. It will hinder them on their journey. Then they cannot run very well because of that fear that is living in their hearts that they are going actually to be overcome. Oh, the Lord, He lays meat, we read. And I lay meat unto them. For what reason? That is to strengthen. It is to strengthen His own church in the actual deliverance. In the deliverance from that bondage of sin. That is in that strife. In the putting away, the putting off of that body of sin. Thus, the Lord, He makes them partakers. They are made partakers of that meat. They are made partakers of that sacrificial lamb. Oh, they are assured of their deliverance. Oh, that they may look now to the end of their journey. Do you know what the Lord, He says to His people? He says, my people. He says, it is a strife. It is a daily strife. But, He says, sin. Oh, despite all your fears, that you will be overcome. Oh, that sin that shall not anymore have dominion over you. Oh, it will have a place in you, but it will never overcome you. It will never have complete dominion. It will never enslave you again. Oh, it is only faith in that crucified Savior that can encourage that church militant, one look upon Him, one look, one view by faith of that shed blood. And, oh, then that people may see in one moment, it cannot go wrong. It cannot go wrong. Every renewed look, every renewed view of that blessed Son of God, that is a strengthening for the people who say, I have no strength, I have no might against all this company that does come against me. Or every view of that people that is giving them courage. Courage, even though they daily have to say, the good that I would not that I do, the evil that I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. Oh, that they have to say, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? I cannot deliver myself. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? And then they may see. And then they may see that the race that is not to the swift. The battle that is not to the strong. No, but Paul, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I laid meat unto them. Oh, then we see the necessity to eat. Oh, to eat the flesh and to drink that blood. That it becomes personal. That it becomes our own. In the first place, that we are not strangers of it in a personal way. But in the second place, also sacramentally. Why? Because the Lord, he would seal it. Oh, do you not desire that, people of the Lord, in this morning, that the Lord, oh, that he would seal it in your life, that the Lord, he would say, it is from me. Oh, and you may believe it is from me, and that you may rest in it, that it is my own work. What did the Lord say to Elijah? He said, arise and eat. He said, because the journey that is too great before thee. Oh, may the Lord do so for his church in this morning hour. Amen. We will now read the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper, which can be found on page 136 in the back of your Psalter.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them to the end, that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that, rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son Jesus Christ with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly, as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those, then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord, but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as, namely, that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with as zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner we are to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you. That, whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you. And as certainly fed and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely, sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we, by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we, by this same Spirit, may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, for we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixes itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are ingrafted into Christ, be altogether one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed, towards one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen.
That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, and that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of thy Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortified mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all of the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. While the table is being prepared, let us sing from Psalter 232 all the stanzas. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people he will speak, and to his saints. But let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 232.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, at a table of the Lord, as it has been declared, has now been prepared in our midst. A week of self-examination, of preparation, that now lies behind us. And the call of the Lord to His church to do this in remembrance of me, that goes forth in this, in our congregation. And that is not an easy thing, because we know that the questions, they can be so very many. You say perhaps, "Oh, how do I know? Am I His or am I not? How can I do it in remembrance of Him? Do I know Him?" Friends, we can read in the Word of God that the disciples, they were in a storm, and the Lord appeared to them, and they cried out, and they said, "It is a spirit." Oh, it was necessary that He would say unto them, "Be not afraid, because it is I." Oh, you say, for the clarity, or if it could only be clear to me. You know, those Emmaus disciples, they said it afterwards. Oh, they said, "How could we not have known?" Because our heart that burned within us, when He talked with us, by the way, oh friends, how may we know it? There is a difference between the gifts and the giver. That is true. We read of Rebecca that she received gifts from Isaac. But what did those gifts now do? Those gifts, they endeared her heart to Him. Oh, what is the gift of the Lord to His people? Some, they say, "Well, oh, have I really seen Him? Has He really revealed Himself to my soul? Then I must say that I have seen something." Oh, I cannot deny that. I have seen something of what grace is over against that covenant of works. Oh, my friends, what is grace? Grace, where does it come from? That is a gift of Him only. And if we have seen that grace, oh, then we have received also a gift from Him that has endeared Him to your soul. Oh, then there are those three things then. Those three things that we have heard. Oh, He says that I have drawn them. Oh, do you know that drawing? With the bands of a man and with the cords of love, then there is a yoke. Yes, do we know something of that yoke? That yoke of sin that is upon us. You say, "Do I really know it? Do I really know it deep enough, my sin? How may we know it?" Oh, we may know it when something of that yoke is lifted up. Then we may know it. And if He has ever lifted up for a moment that yoke, that you have felt something of that relief in that blood of the Lamb that has endeared Him unto your soul, then that calling in this moment goes out. All things are now ready. Do this in remembrance of me. Come then, for the table is ready, and the Lord, He sets before us the tokens of His shed body and of His poured out blood. Congregation, there is yet room. The Lord's Supper that is in a very special way instituted for the strengthening of faith. That is for the strengthening of a little faith. And if we may now know in our hearts that faith, that true faith, in its beginnings, say it is so small, but if we may know that faith in its very, very beginnings, then our heart will say, Lord, wilt thou strengthen it? Lord, wilt thou give an increase in it? Is that living now in your heart? You say, that moment, that was the most blessed moment in my whole life. Could my whole life be so? Oh Lord, give it again. Strengthen it. Come then, for all things are ready. If there are no more, then we will close the table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. Remember and believe that the blood of Christ was shed for the complete remission of all our sins. We read here in the 8th verse, "How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel?" What is it? It is actually a complaint. It is a complaint of the Lord to his own people. He had said when Israel was a child, "And I loved him and called my son out of Egypt." He had spoken of his goodness. He says, "I drew them with the cords of a man and with the bands of love. And I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws. And I laid meat unto them." That is what he did. And then he spoke of what they did. "As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them." Thus all the dealings of the Lord, the loving dealings of the Lord, and he had nothing but complaints about his people, because he says that they shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king, because he says they refused to return. Thus a people that had served the idols, a people who had wandered continually away from him, he said they shall not return into the land of Egypt. Into the land of Egypt, you say? Why would they want to go into the land of Egypt? Because they were delivered out of the land of Egypt. And in Egypt they had experienced that Egypt was their bondage. In Egypt was the place where they were in slavery. And they were so glad to be delivered out of that slavery. But they wanted to go into the land of Egypt. They desired to go back to that place. It is as if they had forgotten all about what a bondage that it was. And so it is with that church. So often after that they are delivered from that bondage of sin, that they are wandering again with desires after the world, and wandering again with desires after the flesh, and wanting to go back into that land of Egypt. And the Lord says, "No, you shall not." The Lord, he will take care of that people. But he says, "The Assyrian shall be your king. You will not go to the west. You will go in the opposite direction. You will go into the east. And I will make you to come under another a kind of slavery. The Assyrian shall be your king, and you will be afflicted by me under that Assyrian rod, because that you refuse to return, and the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches and devour them because of their own counsels, because I call unto you, and you refuse, and my people are bent to backsliding from me." They are bent. That is something that they seem not to be able to get out of their flesh. They cannot get it out of their being. That they are not able just to love me and to serve me and to walk in my ways. They are bent unto their wanderings. They are bent to go out after their idols. And though they call them to the Most High, none of at all would exalt him. They would not exalt me, although that you were called by my servants, by my prophets to the Most High. And now he says, "How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel?" Thus the Lord, he has brought into a dispute with himself, as it were, that he has a question in himself that is not possible, because everything is known to him from the beginning to the end. There is no change in him. There is no emotion in him that is changeable. All his will that is known, decreed from eternity, but yet he is, as it were, speaking as a man. "Oh, how shall I give thee up? How shall I deliver thee?" How close how close that we bring ourselves to destruction, to complete destruction, that sword of the Lord, and that is coming so close even unto God's own people. He says, how shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboam? What are Admah and Zeboam? They are the two cities that were destroyed with Sodom and with Gomorrah. That is what the Lord says, my people deserve. He says that you deserve that I would do with you as I did with that sinful people. And that is because of your sin, not only before that I brought you out of the land of Egypt, but afterwards. After that I have brought you out. How? The Lord says, mine heart is turned within me, and my repentings are kindled together. How is it possible that we can give unto him such an angst within him that he would even to consider yet to destroy us before him because of our wanderings away from him? And then what does he say? He says, I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim. He says, no, I will not do it. When he has struggled, as it were, between mercy and judgment concerning his own people, and then that decision that is made, and now that mercy that is rejoicing against that judgment. What a wonder. He says, I will not return to destroy Ephraim. He won't return. There were several deportations of Israel. One has already taken place, and the Lord says they are coming back. But I will not return altogether to destroy Israel, to destroy my people. And then he says, why? He says, for I am God and not man. What is man? He is false. He says a promise, he says a word, and he does not fulfill it. He becomes angry and he turns away. And the Lord says, I am not. David said, let me fall into the hands of the Lord, but let me not fall into the hands of man. Why? Because the mercies of the Lord, they are so very, very great. Oh, he says, no, I am not a man. He says, I am God. And I have made a promise. And that promise, that will be fulfilled. And there is nothing. There is nothing that people now can do that will take away the fact that I am God and that I have spoken. He said, I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee. The Holy One. Who is that? He is so high. He is so holy. He is so separate from sin. He is so far distant, we would say. He says, the Holy One. Where? In the midst of thee. In the midst of thee. He who is so high. And so far, so holy, so separated, and then in the midst of thee, in the midst of his people Israel, with his tabernacle, with his most holy place. Oh, there was only one way. There was there an altar. There was there a sacrifice. There was that one thing that was standing between the judgment of the Lord against his own people, and that was the blood of Christ himself. That was that sacrifice. Oh, that it has stopped that sword of justice. Last minute that we would say that people, no, they shall never be destroyed. Not with all the repentings that are kindled in the heart of the Lord. Oh, that blood, that bread, that body that has been broken. That blood that has been shed, oh, we cannot, it is here. Oh, do you see it? you have tasted of it. It is, though he is so high, though he is so holy, though he is so separate, it is here in the midst of us. And we are all about this table, everyone with differences of character, and yet all, everyone looking to that same bread, to that same wine, everyone looking to that same broken body and to that same poured out blood. Oh, the meditations of him, they are so sweet. May the Lord give that those meditations may exalt him within our hearts also by renewal. Let us now sing Psalter 241, stanzas 1, 2, and 5, and afterwards we ask the communicants to return to their seats. 1, 2, and 5 of 241, my song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know thy name. 241, 1, 2, and 5. beloved in the Lord. Since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and every one say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and hath given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth, forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thine infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our closing psalter. Our closing psalter is number 312, stanzas 1 through 6. I love the Lord, who heard my cry and granted my request. In him who hears and answers prayer, my trust through life shall rest. And we announce yet that there is a male members meeting to be held this coming Wednesday at 8 o'clock p.m. The consistory has set a duo for deacons, Mr. Patrick DeLeo and Mr. Jan van Hagenbos. Psalter 312, all the stanzas.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.